Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Greetings, Tribes of the Moon. It's Dan Devil Lude Caffrey here. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon episode in which fellow Halloweenies Mackenzie Gerber, Justin Gerber, Mike Vanderbilt, and myself explore a new category called The Rental, where we discuss a one-off horror classic completely separate from any other franchises that we'll be covering in the future. This time, it's Clive Barker's dark fantasy monster epic, Nightbreed. We dive into the movie's various cuts, the monster's origin stories, and what might be Danny Elfman's most underrated score, and so much more. So how do you hear the full thing? Become a pumpkin over at our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit patreon.com/halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there, and remember to lock your doors, bolt your windows, and turn off the lights.
Today, I think we're going to go especially deep because we are talking about one of my favorite horror movies. I'll see what everyone else has to say. But there is, where many production troubles, there are lots of characters. There is lots and lots to talk. 1990s Nightbreed, written and directed by Clive Barker, based on his novella, Cabal. But before we do that, oh, and by the way, I'm one of your hosts. What do we want to do for a nickname? I have so many I can do. I'm going to say Dan Devil Lude Caffrey, because Lude, the devil, he's not in the movie a lot. He is my favorite monster. And we'll talk a lot about him and some other ghouls of the night, some creatures of the night as well. But before we do that, who do I have? I guess you're all in Chicago. So let's do the older of a set of brothers on the podcast. Who do I have joining me?
Hi, this is Justin Get Angry Gerber. And I'm happy to be here talking about the music, the love story, and of course, the monsters of Clive Barker's Nightbreed.
And much like Babette is played by a set of siblings in the film, we have siblings on the podcast, and you have a sibling here. Who is that? Not too far from where you are in Chicago, another Gerber brother. Who do we have there?
Oh, this is Wolfman Babette Gerber, and really excited to talk all things Nightbreed on this episode. Are we talking about the first time we saw it? Or are we?
Oh yeah, I should have mentioned that too.
After?
Oh yeah, I guess we could. Yeah, you know, Matt, kick it off, and we'll do a little round robin, then we'll backtrack a little bit and see when the first time was. Yeah, what was your introduction to
this movie? I think I saw the theatrical version, rented it a long time ago, and I think it was with Justin possibly, and I just remember being, you know, about halfway through the movie, just thinking, "What the fuck is going on?" Because it's so cut to death that I couldn't make sense of some of the, like, characters all of a sudden would be like somewhere else when they were there like a second ago and just hopped around. I remember seeing like Baphomet for like 2 seconds in that version, and that they never mentioned him before that. So you're really confused. But I remember liking the idea of it. And I'm a big Clive Barker fan of, you know, I love the Hellraiser flicks. And I think that I really wanted to like it, and I like the creature design. So I kind of always wanted to revisit it, and was able to do that later with the Cabal cut. You know, the three of us went to see that together here. And then finally, last year, watched the director's cut and felt like I had actually watched the movie for the first time. I'm a fan.
There are many cuts to talk about, which we'll get into when we go into the background of this movie. It's all even... I'm actually a little bit confused on the difference between the director's cut and one of the other cuts here, but I'll save that for the next
I know
section.
Somebody who's here that has a lot of details about that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Let's actually meet him right now, and then we'll go in. So this person, this mystery monster, say who you are and your first experience with this movie. Who do we have there?
This is Mikey Get Angry, Mikey Get Mad Vanderbilt, coming to you live from the south side of Chicago. I think I saw it when it hit video when I was 1990, so I would have been about 10. And I remember liking the monsters, but again, one of those moments where I said, well, I really don't understand this movie. Maybe I'll understand it when I get older. And it's just that theatrical cut just doesn't make a lot of sense.
But Mikey, get older.
Yeah. Like Max said, you know, watching the director's cut and all these other cuts in preparation for this episode, I do like it a lot more. And I think it's kind of a fascinating failure as far as a movie goes. Like, not a failure, but just doesn't hit the heights that I think it wanted to do. Like, it's it takes some big swings and doesn't always hit it. But overall, I think it's a pretty enjoyable flick.
I do love the movie, and I'll talk about my experiences in a little bit seeing it. But Clive Barker did set out to make, quote-unquote, literally the Star Wars of monster movies, and I don't know if it's quite that for many reasons.
It's more like the Star Crash of of monster movies.
The Ice Pirates. That's not fair. Actually, I like this much more than Ice Pirates.
Yeah. Justin, what was your first experience?
It was with Mac, but I vividly remember watching this in his room on VHS, and at the moment the movie ends with the theatrical cut when you see Decker being resurrected, the movie ended, and I said, there has to be a director's cut.
Yeah.
It was like right away, you could tell this was not the intended final product. And then I didn't hear anything about it for years, anything. And then years and years and years later, like Max mentioned, we all saw the Cabal cut in the theaters. And then 10 years after that, for the first time, I watched the director's cut, which is currently on Prime. And by the time this comes out, it might be on
Shudder, I think.
But right now, it is on Amazon Prime for you U.S. subscribers. And maybe even those living in Calgary, like the movie Nightbreed.
Every time something feels a little unworldly or like not 100% right on, I find out it's because it was shot in Canada.
When it's funny, different. Too, because a lot of times movies are shot in Canada to save on costs or to sub in for New York. This movie, Cabal, the novella it's based on, takes place in Calgary, which I kind of love. I love that it's like, no, this isn't a solution for us. This is just honoring the source material.
Clive Barker knew he was never going to be able to film this movie in New York.
Well, but the thing is, EVA, like you said, even the source material, I just assumed that the source material was, you know, in the UK, much like Clive Barker is. Yeah. And then they couldn't do America, so they split the difference. They did Calgary, but no, it's all supposed to be in Calgary, which is kind of a... Look, it's an interesting setup because, like you said, most things are set differently, and then they take place in other places, but they have to be filmed in something like Calgary, which is just less expensive to make a movie.
You know? It's funny that it doesn't even take place in Toronto or.
Well, I don't know if this movie would work in like the big cities of like Vancouver or Toronto.
No, yeah.
It definitely works more. I mean, obviously, this what they're doing, but. Dan, you were like baptized with this film, right?
Oh, this is not an exaggeration. I think this was the first modern horror movie I saw in full. Creature from the Black Lagoon was the first horror movie period that I saw in full. But when I was younger, I was six in 1990 when this came out. We were living in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. And my dad was just, I don't know how he heard about it, but he was just so into this movie. My dad's like an artist and is really into drawing monsters and things. So I think he was really drawn to the creature design of this, which y'all had mentioned and we'll talk about quite a bit. And correct me if I'm Vanderbilt, you might remember this. I feel like this, despite not being a hit in theaters, I do feel like it was heavily advertised on home video. Like I remember being in back in the days where you could rent non-Redbox VHSs or movies at the grocery store. I remember seeing like a stand-up cutout.
I want to mention that. I vividly remember the giant standee in a video store of this movie, which is basically the poster, but just a giant standee. I think they're really, really banking on trying to have it have a second life because since it bombed in theaters, they're really counting on the VHS crowd.
I think even then they knew. I mean, I know that even then they knew like horror just did better, I think, on home video. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a big push because, and we'll end up talking about it later. We were talking yesterday in the group text about that pamphlet that the video stores were handing out that had introductions to all the monsters of Nightbreed.
The Dune of its era.
Well, and it's interesting too because most of those monsters don't play huge roles in the movie. No. I think Clyde Barker was banking on a lot of world building in subsequent movies that never got to happen. And we do see a lot of that in the comic books and some other things, which we'll talk about much later on. And so I remember my dad loved this movie and he had this book called The Nightbreed Chronicles that had these really beautiful portraits of all the monsters and stories about them. And obviously this movie is maybe not the most appropriate thing for a six-year-old to watch. So I remember he made me, he like ripped a copy from the video store and made what was called a monster cut for me that pretty much cut out all the nudity in it and maybe some of the more violent things with Decker and just had all the cool monster scenes on it. So for a long time, I would just watch, it was almost like this montage.
So is that the eighth cut of Nightbreed?
Yeah. Wow. I can't believe it.
The Drew Caffrey cut. Yeah. And so, and then when I was a little bit older, not much older, I think like 9 or 10, I was allowed to watch the movie in full. And it's interesting because the scariest sequences of Nightbreed actually don't have much to do with the monsters. I feel like they're more tied to the human antagonist, Dr. Decker, played by David Cronenberg. And that's a big theme in the movie, obviously, is that who is the real monster and it being humans. Oh, yeah. Rather than that.
Yeah. It's funny, Dan, you said your dad's Drew Caffrey, and it makes me think that having a movie taken away from its filmmaker by somebody from DC wasn't Justice League. It was Nightbreed by Drew Caffrey. Oh, so pretty amazing.
Oh, man. Release. Oh, I don't know why I responded
release,
to anything.
Release the Barker cut. Again.
Cut, like, in hashtag is so funny. That whole debacle is so funny to me. I don't even know. Anyway, hey, you know what? That's it. Too much.
Release, joke, but we can move on. We'll talk about
cut.
That.
Release the Caffrey cut. Yeah. I mean, he might still have it. I don't know.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.